Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Even Khan could do nothing. Though he tried.
I want to hide. To run. To throw myself into the ocean and just start swimming. I want to be anywhere but here.
I know. And it's going to be like this for a while. Grief isn't a thing that you conquer. It's something you learn to live with. And it takes a very long time.
All right. Are you guys ready to start?
Move them body.
Yes.
All right. I'm going to push the button here. All right.
Okay.
Sorry.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Bloody lungs.
Look, I asked you guys, look, audience. I'm ready. I asked Dan.
Oh, audience. He's talking to the audience
sing
again.
Sing a song about singing a song.
We are always talking
sing
to the audience.
Sing a song about singing a song. Okay. Singing a song.
I asked Dan and Jesse if they were ready.
Singing a song about singing a song.
To start the podcast, and they both answered in the affirmative.
And he was asking us if we were ready.
Dan was like, we got to do this whole thing.
What time do you guys have to do stuff tomorrow?
Every time people are always giving me a hard time about wanting to start the podcast, is Dan was trying to rush us. And we were just like, you know, trying to just like get ready for an hour and a half before.
We had to hurry. We had to stuff. It was
we got to warm up for just as long as we do the podcast for. For every minute of podcast, we have a minute of warm-up.
There's a lot of exercises to do.
Mwah. Mwah. Mwah.
See?
He's done the coffee. He's done the singing. He's done the Conan O'Brien growl, and now he's back. He's doing scales.
That's what I'd hear.
The warm ups.
When I would hear my mom teaching voice lessons, sometimes I'd hear the things, but every once in a while I'd hear some student just going, "Woo, woo." I'd be like watching TV in the other room, and I just like hear that while I'm watching my TV. Watching my DuckTales, I hear someone go like, "Woo."
It's funny. It's like it was in your house. I just heard it like it's at school. Like I had a class that was near the practice room, and somebody was doing it in a practice room. Like every time.
You had a class near the practice room?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
like,
over at Mason. I lived in like next to that practice
room. Yeah, exactly.
Room.
That was at your house. You were trying to watch fucking DuckTales.
Yeah.
That was an endearing background anecdote, Dan.
Yep.
It was endearing.
That's
to
what he's here for.
Some subset of the audience will appreciate that story.
Maybe a little.
You know, maybe a little. Maybe, everybody else, what the hell with it?
Maybe a lot. For the rest of us, welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Oh.
Like we are toys.
Sorry, I'm laughing because as soon as I said welcome, Dan tensed up. He tensed up in his finger. Hovered over the touch screen of
ready
his
to push it.
Of his yes. iPad.
Plus.
Well, no. It's just a regular old iPad.
iPad plus.
Maybe a little.
Other tablets are available, of course, but Dan has chosen to purchase, in this case, an iPad. Although, this is probably a pretty old one, isn't it? Is that an ancient iPad?
It's something you learn to live with.
Yeah, this is like before.
Dan's a pretty old one.
This is still got the lightning port or whatever, and it's before you can't hook it up. So I have like a I'm mostly a Windows PC kind of guy and an Android phone kind of guy, but I do have an iPad.
Okay.
And what do you think about Notepad Plus?
And I just, Notepad.
Hey, we're gonna get to that in a second, Jesse.
But I have in one room I have like an Android box thing. It's called the NVIDIA Shield. But in another room I have an Apple TV.
Mm-hmm. Oh shit!
And in the Apple TV you can
this guy's low key humble bragging about
all. What's that show? That's
all his fucking rooms, man.
Oh, my two rooms.
This guy's got all these fucking
rooms. How many
rooms
do you have, dude? This guy's Louis the 14th.
Seriously?
All right.
So with this, apparently with the Apple TV, you can hook up an iPad or a camera to act as like a screen. So you can have like conferences through your Apple TV, like through your TV. You can
iPad is the camera?
Yeah, the iPad. You can use a camera, or you can use the iPad as the camera.
It's your Star Trek style.
And then you talk to like an Apple executive.
And you can hook it up to an Apple TV, and you can have a conference through the TV. But this iPad is too old to be able to act as one of those TVs.
I see.
It's the version prior to the one that you were able to do it. I don't know. This is maybe like 2018 or 19 or something. So it works fine.
All right. Well, good to know.
I have no need for a new one, but it is an older one.
All right, Jesse, just keep.
I was trying to express to you exactly how old it was, but I guess I gave you a little too much information.
It looks old,
and suddenly what was intended to be just a normal explanation made it sound like I'm some kind of asshole braggart piece of shit.
No, not at all. It's not.
Would never say that.
I killed it.
We don't think you're bragging about having this ancient piece of technology.
But you're like, he's got a NVIDIA Shield and he's got an Apple TV. Look at this guy with all the things. He's bragging.
I forgot about those. I was talking more about the rooms. What I meant to mention to Jesse,
leave me alone.
Is we just got to keep track because Dan has now provided two separate personal anecdotes to help endear himself to the audience.
Yeah.
If he wasn't already endeared.
We may have to squeeze in a few of our own along the way.
But, I'm going to squeeze it.
But
is
first,
this how it is to be between us?
But first, we do want to get the podcast started. Because of all of Dan's business there, I'm going to have to cut short. I had this whole thing about a joke on Do Your Worst, which is the name of the episode.
Oh, yeah.
It's the Do Your Worst, except I
had... Do Your Worst.
Yeah, but there's like a whole like Do Your Worst, kind of like Do Your Worst, because it's a sausage worst. Joke. There was a whole thing I was going
to
do,
but
I'm not
going to throw that out now.
Oh, it's tossed. Can't do it.
You know, when
not enough time.
When I was organizing my files and my folders and my
talking about your sound files?
My sound files, when I was organizing them all.
Your Star Trek sound files.
When I was naming my sound files and when I placed them in the folder, in the folder I have like the episode number and name and then like I have like the subject. Every time that I had the word worst, I replaced it with worst.
Worst?
Worst.
You mean like W-U-R-S-T?
Yeah, like for example.
Do your worst.
I spelled it W-U-R-S-T.
You did that as a joke.
To myself, yes. But I was not intending to share that with anyone, but because you mentioned it just now, I decided it would make sense for me to bring that
up. But will that joke hinder you in the future if you're searching for
I was thinking about that.
This. But do you think you'd remember the joke?
Well, I was considering that before I did it, but I was like, you know, sometimes you just got to live life, you know?
All right.
And so I decided to live life because it amused me.
Okay.
So like in the episode, so the folder is titled STK-S01E03-DO-YOUR-WRST. That's the folder.
The worst, yeah.
Does anyone else, is that what you guys would call it too, STK?
STK? No, I've been just calling it Khan.
Oh, but you have to have three letters. That's what Star Trek has to do. It's like TOS, VOY, DS9, TNG, ENT.
Yeah, I don't subscribe.
What about
precisely that?
I think it's. I think that that's the whole. I think it's the pattern's been established.
So
DIS.
I do.
Yeah.
I do TOS. I'm down with that.
I don't know about
I do TNG. I do DS9. Those work. Voyager, I just usually spell out. Voy is silly. Come on. Voyager's a short. It's a one word. Enterprise is one word. Ent. It's not. They're not fucking tree people. They're not ancient wise tree people.
But if you're going to.
If I was writing it down.
But
it's Enterprise. It's
but
short.
If you're talking about a file pattern, it's easier to like have an established
file
pattern.
If you're
going to
label something, if you're going to type something, write something.
See, I'm thinking about this in terms of like accessing files and having file names in a specific pattern to make them more easily accessible.
Yeah, I hear what
I too am nostalgic. For the old days when you were limited to 8 characters and 3
8
characters for a file name and 3 characters for an extension.
This doesn't have to do with space. It has to do with pattern matching.
Okay.
pattern matching.
So, okay, I get it. You can do the same thing with the full word.
Yes, but the pattern is not as easy to match when it's the full word. That is just a fact.
Oh, you just like to have three characters of space and squeeze
it in. Okay, if we had established four characters, then I would stick with four characters. The point is it's easier to match 20 things that are all three letters than 20 things that are of different
lengths.
We're
three characters.
I don't like the STK because it's the like they didn't do, they did DIS instead of STD because STD sounded stupid for Discovery.
Okay, right? So what?
So but
nobody likes STDs.
I don't know, STK. I don't know. It's breaking the pattern because it's concluding the Star Trek.
No, but I'm talking about a specific character length pattern. The pattern
SNW. We forgot to mention SNW.
The pattern is three characters, three letter characters, a dash. S0, okay. S number number, E number number. Notice that I say S01, not S1. Sure, I say S01, okay, E01, sure. Dash, episode name separated by underscores.
No, I'm right there with you. Right there with you. Mm-hmm. Except for some of it.
Hold your tongue, woman.
Okay.
Except for some of it.
All right.
Except for the stupid part. That's really stupid and a waste of my time.
No, this is all silly, but we are going to get started. It is episode 316 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast, but don't worry about that. Nobody cares. do your worst. Don't worry about that. It's not that good a joke anyway. No. I do have a special...
Did you actually have a joke about... You didn't actually have a
joke. I do have a joke.
You got to tell it at some point.
No, I don't have to tell it at this point. It's like, maybe we don't have enough time.
But you spent all that time making
on
this...
On the extra bits.
You spent all this time making this joke and we don't even get to hear it.
Well, I didn't make
it. That's like saying...
You can tell it to us on a break.
That's like going up to someone saying like, dude, guess what? And you're like, what? And you're like, oh, never mind. I shouldn't tell you. And you're just like, of course you got to tell me now. You're just teasing me.
All right. Well, I'll tell you later.
You're just teasing.
We will have a second break. Adam up. Second break.
You are
Adam
of
up.
No use to us like this.
So when we get to the second break, we'll have a second break. Adam up. And I did want to comment. Tarek mentioned our old friend Tarek on Blue Sky. Referring
Blusky.
To last week's conversation. Tarek votes in favor of more Notepad++. Stories and anecdotes. So that's something you can gather. And the listeners, write in at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com if you have any fun or interesting anecdotes about using Notepad++.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I was just going to say that I didn't mention that I mentioned my older brother, Rob. Mm-hmm. Knows about Notepad++.
Sure.
I failed to mention that my younger brother, Alex, also,
okay,
I'm sure knows about Notepad++. I didn't mention it before because...
But you haven't confirmed it with him.
Yeah, and I didn't mention it just because, like, he hasn't really reached out to me about the podcast, so I didn't want to, like, dox him, you know what I mean? I don't want to dox him. And by revealing that his name is Alex and he likes Notepad++, I think I've officially...
Those are two key bits of information.
I think I've officially doxed him.
I think you should confirm. Let us know
now
next week.
Everybody's going to know who he is.
Let us know on next week's episode whether your younger brother, Alex, likes Notepad++. Yes. So, more about that in next week. Last week we also played our inaugural game of Muffin Mouth.
Good.
Which turned out very well. People responded very well to Muffin Mouth. If you don't know what Muffin Mouth is, go back and listen to last week's episode.
Yes.
You will find out. And I think we will be doing some more of that in the future. Yeah. Probably some Muffin Mouth. We might play a few other games, cribbed from Dan's old times in the radio when he was doing drive time radio at midnight. Midnight style drive time radio.
It was actually the 7 to 10 spot.
Yeah.
Same difference.
Whatever.
That was
whatever you call that,
ago,
the dinner drive time.
Yeah, people don't drive anymore. We all have flying cars.
Yeah.
Yes. There's a few other games that we might be able to transpose into the Star Trek environment.
Was that in the year 2000? Was that when you were at that show?
Yeah, somewhere around that time. September 11th changed everything.
Yeah.
Okay. What it didn't change is the trajectory of our lives
led us
to this point in time where we are discussing Do Your Worst.
Why won't they stop screaming at me?
This was an intense episode.
Episode 3, Do Your Worst.
You can tell by how he says it.
Do your worst.
Do that.
I do enjoy the announcer at the beginning. So, like, hilariously, cheesily in your face about every episode title.
Patrick, were you telling me that the guy who does the narration on Mythbusters is Australian?
I believe so.
It's the same guy because I was watching
it's an Australian produced show.
Well, I knew that. Yeah. I knew that. But like I was watching Mythbusters and it was at an Australian narrator. But you're saying that's the same guy?
It's the same fella.
He sounds so different.
He sounds so different.
And I'm not just saying like one has an accent, one doesn't. It's like no, he sounds like a different person.
And the Australian edits are longer. Not just Australian. There's an international version of Mythbusters and a Discovery version. And Discovery always cut out like four minutes.
You gotta have more commercials.
Exactly.
The one with the American English accent sounds kind of like he sounds like kind of a square. But the Australian narrator sounds like he's cutting loose. Like he's
American and Australian.
He's like he sounds like he's in it to have a good time. Whereas the American one sounds like he's just like hello.
He's a nerd for hire.
Yeah, exactly. Right, they sound like two different. They sound like different personalities.
I think you summed it all up there and so succinctly. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Between Australians and Americans.
Yeah. Our approach to speaking. And
Australians like to cut loose.
Yeah.
Can Isaac confirm that with us, that Australians like to cut loose?
I expect he can. I expect Isaac from the Trek 365 podcast could... He could write in, he could send us a voicemail.
Saying if Australians like to cut loose.
And letting us know whether or not Australians, in his view, as an Australian...
Not in the Elvis
cut
sense.
Loose. Although he's from Tasmania. And Tasmania, according to YouTube, is an island where nobody lives.
Except a bunch of pie holes. Yeah,
there was one of those...
Jam eaters.
A bunch of pie holes.
Pie holes. What are you talking about?
Fuck. Jam eaters.
They do have like 36 political parties. But anyway.
That's cool.
I got one of those YouTube video suggestions. It was all like, it was like somebody like shrugging. There was like this lady shrugging. It's like, why does nobody live in all of this part of Tasmania? It's like, I don't fucking know.
Because they got them devils.
Didn't watch the video, but Isaac, write in and let us know. You know how to get to us. Mm-hmm. All right. Anyway, this was ridiculous. Well, we're talking about
Star Trek.
Star Trek Con.
SDK.
Star Trek Con.
Do your work.
Why won't they stop screaming at me?
Worst. Do your worst.
Close your eyes and draw a picture in your mind of whatever it is that screams.
So we kind of drop right back into the story, except we go back to the main character.
That was weird and funny.
The bridge character, the bookend character.
The what?
What was the historian lady's name?
Oh, Dr. Lear.
Lear, yes, Dr. Lear, which is funny because she's like leering into the past.
Whoa, weird.
With her eyeballs.
Uneasy lies ahead, the wears the crown.
And she's dealing with Mr. Tuvok.
Yeah.
And Sulu.
Mr. Vulcan and Mr. Ensign Vulcan.
Oh.
And the meteorites, your shower sounds like rain on the hull because I guess Mr. Sulu, Captain Sulu, turns down the shields because he likes to hear the plink of the meteors.
It sounds
on the hull. It did sound nice.
The way they described it, how he likes the plink.
And the sound design was fun because it didn't sound like rain. It sounded like little rocks hitting something, but it was pleasant.
That sounds.
Does it rain in space?
Woo-hoo, I love the rain.
What's that from?
Woo-hoo, I love the rain.
From Star Trek, dude.
No, yeah, Star Trek. That's an episode of South Park called Licecapades.
Oh, okay. All right. Now
come on, Kelly. Kelly, no.
Yeah, it's when the
how's my baby?
Yeah, when the lice.
Hey, Kelly, how's my baby?
You just described every episode.
Lice
of South Park.
Shampoo comes in its own.
Woo-hoo, I love the rain.
And then the child starts to dissolve away, right?
Well, yeah, they're dancing
shampoo.
In the rain because the lice are in his head because he's taking a shower. Then he puts in the lice killing shit in his hair, and then they all melt away.
It's gross. Horrifying.
Yeah, it is pretty horrifying.
Oh my goodness!
A monstrous visage.
I haven't seen that show in decades.
So that's how this starts. We're back at the bookend, and then sort of transitions into Khan sounding all pissed off.
I just want to say I found that meteorite sound soothing is actually kind of maybe if I was like doing what she was doing I wouldn't, but just listening to it I think
it would be fun to read.
I kind of want just like, you know how people like play tapes when they go to sleep and stuff?
Right. It's that kind of a
audio
sound.
Cassettes.
Yeah.
Play like on your
like a white noise.
Yeah. On your Walkman, you would
on
play
my Walkman.
Rain.
You would play a tape.
Yeah.
Waves.
Yeah.
You get one of them fancy Walkmen that has the auto rewind.
Is it Walkmen or Walkmans?
Wouldn't it be walkmen if
walk
you,
people?
If you
walk
were
persons.
Talking about plural walkmen,
but you're saying but man and men
walkman. Yes, it's a Sony walkman.
But you would like when walkman. You say plural of mouse, as in like a computer yeah. mouse. You would say mouses. You wouldn't say mice.
Yeah, I know you should say mouses, but so same they say with, mice to be
same,
cute.
Same with walkman.
Computer
it's,
mice
because sounds it's not cuter. It's not it's called a walkman. That's yeah. the copyrighted or trademark yeah. name or whatever you call it.
I call it vermin.
So you'd call several walkmans walkmans. So you wouldn't call them walkmen.
So you're working. In the back lot of your Circuit City, you know,
yeah,
radio or your Radio Shack or whatever, yeah, and you're back there waiting
Circuit
for the,
City.
You're waiting for the shipment to come in, and the truck is just backing in, beep 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 beep, beep, beep backing beep. In.
Thing, oh yeah, the
door
they
flies
do that
open.
Best Buy as well.
Charlie pops down. You're all like, "Hey, Charlie, what do we got this week?" The guy's like,
I did not see.
I've got some Trinitrons.
I've got a whole whole truckload of Walkmans in here.
It's more than that.
You think they'd say that? It's like, I got a bunch of Sony Walkmans here for you.
I mean, that would be the proper way to say it. That's not necessarily how they would say
Trinitron
it.
Trinitron should have
Walkman. I got a truckload of Walkman in here. Sony
Walkmans. Walkmans.
Walkman.
Trinitrons are heavy.
Oh, my God.
Damn right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Speaking of those tapes,
so you agree with Jesse and I that the meteor sound is good.
Yeah. Remind me.
We've all agreed to this.
But speaking of tapes you play, audio cassettes you play going to sleep.
Okay.
When Khan was talking to Richter, mm-hmm. and he was like saying that shit about like he was like imagine your pain going away. Mm-hmm. What was he saying?
That's
like,
a fun thought.
What was it? Wasn't he saying he was saying some shit?
I mean, this is your point, so. You would think you would have the necessary information.
Why do I have the answers? Well,
it seems quite cruel of you, in fact, to ask a question.
What do you want from me, Jack?
When he goes,
without the full background.
Okay, he goes, when Richter's all freaking out, Khan says, you're in control, Richter. It is your mind and your body.
It is your mind and your body.
Close your eyes and draw a picture in your mind of whatever it is that screams. Do you see it? And Richter's like, yes, I. And then Khan goes, good. Now inhale again. And when you release the breath, watch as it blows them away, far, far away. Huh. So it kind of reminds me of like, have you ever had someone say to you before, it's like you have like a stomach ache and someone's like, close your eyes, that pain you feel in your stomach. Imagine it as a black cloud that gathers in your head and then trickles out the top of your head and curls out like smoke.
It goes out the other way.
Let it dissipate into the air like it's supposed to make the pain go away. Yeah. Has anyone ever like heard of someone doing this?
Of course.
I'm not saying that it's happened to you, but haven't you
this sort of
idea that you visualize the pain?
I think somebody tried to do that to me.
Yeah, you visualize it going away.
Right.
Yeah. So it kind of was like he was pulling that shit, and it reminded me that taking it back.
My parents just gave me medicine.
I'm not saying that is this your experience. You just use this as an opportunity to say why you're better than those people.
I don't know about that.
I'm not saying that was your experience that you had that done to you. I'm saying like, have you heard of this happening?
Sure. Yeah.
God, this guy is impossible sometimes. He's like, I don't know. My parents just use science. I don't know. I didn't ask what your fucking parents did. I said, have you ever heard of this concept? He's like, no, actually, I just dealt with like real shit that real people do. I didn't ask that. I didn't ask for your opinion on it. I didn't ask for your editorialization. I simply asked, have you heard of this?
Okay.
I don't know. Like, I just, I never thought about shit that's bullshit before. Anyways.
I don't think it's bullshit.
Anyways,
visualization
can
be a powerful tool.
Jesse is not being difficult. Jesse is.
I'm trying to.
Jesse is working with me on this.
I'm trying to behave.
Patrick is being recalcitrant, right?
I'm being impish.
I'm being
a little impish tonight.
You're being confrontational.
I'm on my
guard. More than that.
Yeah,
but yes, you were saying he blew away Richter's pain.
So, and it reminded me of that. Then it also kind of reminded me, taking it back to the when you play audio cassettes going to sleep of the meteorites. Reminded me once I had this for a short period of my life as a kid. My mom, for some reason, got it in her head that she needed to play me this like cassette tape while I go to sleep every night. And the cassette tape was the same shit over and over. It was just this guy wandering around the beach, and he's describing himself walking through the beach, and he's describing it as if he's me. He's like, you're walking, you see, hear the waves in the distance, and you walk around, you see a little crab skitter to the right, and the wind is blowing through.
Parents
you.
Used to be weird.
Yeah, and it's upsetting. Like, and it's, and
I thought it was going to be like whale sounds or some shit.
No,
like that.
It was this whole fucking story of like this guy Boomers, pretending he was me walking through the beach, telling me to look at this shit, and it was supposed to help me sleep, but it didn't help me sleep because there was one part in the tape that I always waited for, and that's when you like, when you, at one point in the tape, I almost trip. He's like, because he's like, he's like, now walk over this clearing right here. He's like, watch out for the.
And then you wake up.
And he goes, watch out for the roots on the ground. Don't trip over those. And like every time, I always focused on him going, watch out.
Why are
and
there like, roots
and,
on the
and,
beach?
And I couldn't sleep before that point because I was always waiting for that. And it wasn't until I got to that point that I could go to sleep. I had no idea why she played it. I guess she, I was kind of a restless kid, but at the same time, I guess she was just trying whatever she could to get me to calm down. She was throwing shit against the wall, to see what stuck. She was throwing her feces against the wall to see what stuck to the wall. No, she was just point being is that we were talking
you
about
see how quickly he goes down that road.
The point being is that it just, the meteorite talk made me think of like things that of help feces. You makes you help you sleep things okay. that things that I All listen right. to that help me sleep, and it reminded me also of Khan like focusing on the pain to make it go away and the things I don't know yeah. it all just kind of one big circle of like focusing and imagining like shit to calm your brain down.
Yeah, and it would seem like isn't it cool to like, if it's raining outside and you can hear it, like you curl up with a nice book, like she could be curling up with all this nice information to read and just sit there blinkety blinkety.
Do you think she has a pad?
She gets some Rock DiGino or whatever the fuck.
Did they have pads in Rock DiGinos back then?
Well, they had the precursor to that. Maybe they weren't drinking Rock DiGino, but
and remember that these folks were not left with a lot of Starfleet stuff.
But
because
she,
there's a whole part of this episode where they find the coil from her communicator.
Yeah,
that
she
was broken.
She has a lot of stuff.
I
She's
was talking
got a
about
few
the bookend.
So I was wondering if she had a pet.
Ah, the bookend character. Yeah. You're right. You're sorry. I was
never mind.
She's the one complaining about the meteor.
I was conflating everything.
Yeah.
Maybe a little.
It's like when it's raining and you curl up with a nice book.
Well,
curling up with a nice book.
It provides a nice entrance, this bookend
nice
thing.
Chair.
We also get some information that she's searching on days, what was it, between 6,000, days 6,000 and 6,500 of exile?
Cross-reference with days 30 to 35.
Yeah, that was wild. What the fuck?
So it was interesting.
Because the beginning part of the Khan stuff was later Khan, who's all pissed off and later. Like, he's like, that's near Wrath of Khan.
Then
it switches back into not even tape stuff, just stuff that we're hearing.
Well, it switches to the non-tape stuff in the future, actually, because here's the transition.
But I remember the rain. I remember it well. How it nourished the first fields we planted. How the younglings used to catch raindrops on their tongues.
Yeah. Woohoo! I love the rain!
So, but that's interesting because it like cuts to like now, except it's not now. They're still, this is day 6,000 between 6,500 still. And it's not until
good point.
The third part, that was part two. Part one is Lear and Tuvok. Part two is that is that transition. But then part three is when they actually jump back to back in time.
Which is the bulk of the
episode. So it's a nice transition, but it's a little confusing because when it fades when it fades from tape to sounding like not tape, my immediate thought is, oh, we're in now, but we're not now.
No.
When was then now?
Soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spaceball.
Yeah, Spaceballs.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because we do Spaceball. We don't do Sandlot references.
No Sandlot references.
There used to be a bunch of that fried green tomatoes.
Yeah. But Dan doesn't like me to bring up the fried
green tomatoes. I don't care if you bring it up. I just
the
think
secrets
you're...
in the sauce.
I just think you're just... You act like it's like the most amazing thing in the world. Well, it's better than like sliced bread, and it's bigger than a bread box.
Not all superlatives need to relate to bread, Dan. Not all superlatives need to relate to bread. But what we do need to do is take a break. Okay. So we're going to take a break. And when we get back, we will have.
Do you find that idea comforting?
We'll have an Adam up. And then we will also. It'll be an Adam up.
Adam up.
And we will continue. We will continue our discussion of do your worst.
Do your worst.
Wait. We didn't break.
No, that's the break.
Break.
I thought you said we'll be right back. I thought that's when we break.
Oh, okay. We'll be right back.
Break.
We'll be right back.
Good.
And we're back.
Hey there.
Word of this is going to get around.
Word up.
What's word the word? Word up. Word up. What's the word?
What is the word? Word up. Perfect. Perfect. All right. So we want to get back to our discussion of do your worst.
It takes a very long time.
Yeah, soon, but first...
It's got Star Trek.
But first, in proper It's Got Star Trek fashion, we have to digress.
To waste your time.
Briefly and momentarily, I assure
you. Nothing really changes.
Because I have devised a second break Adam-up.
That's his wise.
We haven't done one of these before. Dan and Jesse are looking at me like, what are we going to do? So it's very simple.
It sounds fun.
All we do is we take the number 3,756, and you add it to the number 6,279.
Dear God!
I'm fooling. That's not what I'm talking about.
I will not release you to this madness.
That's silly. That's silly. That's Patrick being silly. No, what I actually mean...
I was about to get my calculator.
Something you learn to live with.
I don't... I'm not talking about adding numbers together. No.
It's like he can't think clearly anymore.
I'm talking about the ads... that are served to you, because I want to ask you all a question, right?
There's like some ad for pants or something.
Oh, well, see, that's what I'm getting at. Because I wanted to know which ads you all got. Now, we're all relatively local to each other, so it would be unsurprising if we were targeted with similar or identical ads.
I wondered if it was different because I'm listening on like an iPhone.
Well, yeah, well, there's different...
I'm on Apple Podcasts. Apple Podcasts.
The geography, but we're similar age, similar demographics, etc.
Are you testing me?
That's right. And there's that age shit. They're always like targeting certain audiences.
I'm sure folks around the world
get
different local ads, different ads, or no ads at all in some cases. But I had a
this guy's got no ads at all.
I had a specific question about this ad that I got, and I think Jesse, you must have gotten the same ad. I'm just going to start playing some of this ad because I just had a couple questions about it. All right, here we go.
Hate shopping for pants. You're not alone. Jack Archer's Jet Setter Tech pants are basically the answer.
Okay, so
I was hoping. We let me just go back. This,
that's not an answer.
Did you get the same? Did you get the same ad, Dan?
Yeah.
Dan, same one. Or you don't remember?
I
or you skip the ads?
I listen to it on YouTube.
I've got some high tech shit. And I just skip it.
And YouTube doesn't have ads if you subscribe to the YouTube. It's humble brag. Another humble bag by Dan. I've got more than one room.
If you don't subscribe,
I've got more than one room in my place. I've got an Nvidia Shield and an Apple TV. I subscribe to YouTube Plus or whatever it's called.
I listen to YouTube in my kitchen
while I cook my souffle. My souffle and my
souffle of flobbity flows.
My souffle of veal mignon.
Banana pudding.
Banana veal mignon pudding.
I too, Dan, subscribe to YouTube Premium.
Yeah.
All right, so this will be great for you, Dan. This will be new for you, but Jesse knows exactly what I'm talking about, and I expect some other people around the country will. So again, let's just listen very closely.
Because what I've been doing is I listen to it while I play this game Astrobot on my PlayStation. I play Astrobot.
Is that wow, really? That sounds cool.
Wait, you got a PlayStation 5 too? Is Astrobot one of those games you can only, it costs like $1,000?
It's kind of like a Mario kind of game, but it's different.
Okay.
It's like endlessly charming. Right. That game is endlessly charming.
As is this bit. So listen to this. Listen to the beginning of this commercial game. Listen to this.
Back at the ranch.
Hate shopping for pants.
Okay, so
who isn't?
So the premise of this commercial.
Never mind, silly question.
This commercial that's been targeted at a 45-year-old white male in the United States of America on the Atlantic coast is a commercial where the premise they're starting with is that I hate shopping for pants.
They're quite an assumption.
I thought of this as being quite the assumption because. I have no problem shopping for pants. I don't hate shopping for pants. I'm not going to say it's my favorite thing to do in the world. I don't rush out at every opportunity to go buy some pants.
I hate pants, but I don't mind shopping for pants that are reasonably, you know, comfortable to wear.
Precisely.
Damn it all to hell. What was he thinking?
It's not that big a deal to go to one of the shops, find pants that are approximately your size, and try them on. I apologize for the semi-Obama thing. That was on accident.
With no thought for your own well-being.
Yeah. I miss it.
So, yeah, this commercial, I'll just play a little
bit
more.
You're not alone.
Jack Archer's Jet Setter Tech Pants are basically the
Jack Archer's Jet Setter Pants.
Yeah, that sounds
answer. Thank you for that truly piercing insight. Customizable fit, wrinkle-free fabric source from Japan, and all-day comfort. These pants can take you from work to weekend without.
These pants that you don't even have to think about buying because you don't have to go through the process of buying because you hate buying pants. So you just buy these Jack Archer Jet Setter pants. And by the way, I'm convinced by this ad, I must say. You buy these pants and they're straight. They're somehow related
to Japan.
You
don't have to think about
that. They're related to Japan. You don't have to think about that either. All you got to know is that you can take these from, what was it? From work to the blurk. What did it say?
Work to the blurk. Yeah. That's where.
Pants can take you from work to weekend without missing a beat. Right. Seriously. These might be the only pants you'll ever need.
Okay.
Seriously?
Okay. Another bold assertion.
How many pairs do you have to buy?
Look, I get it. You want to sell me pants, but you're suggesting that I may only need one more pair of pants for the rest of my life? Not just one style, but like just one pair.
What about like putting them on and taking them off? Don't even worry about it.
I don't think that's viable.
They kind of go on and they come off.
I think the problem with the ad is it's logically not a viable business plan to sell you.
I don't know.
One pair of pants for the rest of your life.
Style them with a Jet Setter tee, legacy button-down shirt, or the buttery legacy polo sweater.
Buttery?
What's buttery?
The buttery legacy polo sweater.
I say button up. Is that wrong?
Or the buttery legacy polo sweater.
Buttery.
I like button up. Yeah.
You say
button down shirt or the buttery legacy polo sweater. And
it's buttery. The same as button down. Right?
But I mean, is button up the wrong way to say it?
No. What?
I think it's interchangeable.
Say button. I wear a button up shirt.
It's like inflammable.
Well, do you mean a shirt that's got buttons all the way down?
It's like button down.
It's got buttons all the way up.
Or all the way down, yeah. Well, I think you can say button-up shirt.
I think it's like a tomato. Yeah,
I usually say...
It's more than that.
I wear a blouse festooned with buttons.
Festooned.
I see.
Anyway,
that's enough of that commercial. But anyway, that was an Atom Up. And
buttery.
And I just have a bonus
buttery.
Thing.
Yeah,
buttery in Japan. You only need to buy these pants.
You have
no
some,
more.
Buttery bonus?
Don't got to think about it, but the bonus is... The bonus is immediately after. There's two commercials. Two commercials play at the beginning of each of the episodes. That was commercial number one, right? And so just to remind you, commercial number one.
Hate shopping for pants. Never mind. Silly question.
Commercial number two.
You know that feeling when you've spent hours booking a trip?
It's like the same person. That's what I thought.
She's sitting there. She's like, all right, I recorded the first thing about the pants. I recorded this crazy commercial for these Washington, D.C. people, these men who only want to have to bother buying one more pair of pants. And
so
then
I can listen to podcasts.
You know that feeling when you've spent hours booking a trip, searching through...
No, I don't.
No.
No, I don't. I just go onto the website and I just type in the... usually...
No!
That's fairly no.
Usually only takes, a few minutes. I mean, maybe a half an hour or something if you're trying to kind of find a good deal. But anyway, you don't sit there for hours.
You find what you need and you finish.
When I was working at WJFK, sometimes I'd overhear like various... personalities recording ad reads beforehand. And it's kind of funny because they don't often like some of them do it different than others. Some of them read it just straight through and they don't care. But some of them like will really like obsess over it and they'll have like a 2-second phrase that they'll just say over and over. Like they have their whole script and then they'll keep talking like through the script and then they hit one spot and then they say that one like 2-second spot over and over and
over
again.
Did you hear G. Gordon Liddy?
And like, no, he wasn't in the studio when I was there.
He didn't do ad reads.
But it's like
what about a review and comment on the news?
If the line was something like, go to the store to buy the perfect pair of pants. Perfect pair of pants.
Right,
perfect pair of pants.
Right.
Perfect pair of pants. Perfect pair of pants. So you can go
they,
to the.
They
so
just
you,
got all like caught in.
So
a
you can
thing,
so, so you can wear them to school. To school. To school. To school. You know they just like repeat the same thing, and it's like.
Is that why you used to do that? Nuts. But you weren't getting recorded. You were just sort of standing in the corner.
This guy's commenting on like some kind of like
screaming.
Some personal mental conditions that I may or may not have. Related to
Screaming Dan.
obsessions and various compulsions.
Obsessions.
Dan's describing his whole, he's got a whole line of colognes planned out. All right, so that was an Adam Up, and we get back to your regularly scheduled discussion of Do Your Worst.
I understand.
Yes, we yes. all understand.
So at the beginning, we hear Khan says, I told them that his father fought valiantly. This was in future Khan. Mm-hmm. He says, I told him that his father fought valiantly defending us all, that Richter and Sylvanas' foolishness was not the cause, that my life was worth his father's sacrifice. In other words, I lied to him. So he lied to Joachim, I'm guessing. He lied because apparently, number A, Joaquin, his dad, fought like a loser. Is the implication?
No.
Yeah, because he said
oh,
I
no,
got
no, no,
like
no.
he said
I told I told him that his father fought valiantly, defending us all. So if that's a lie, he must have fought like a loser.
We're on the same side. We've taken slightly different degrees. He didn't say he fought like a loser. What he meant was his dad just got fucking gored by a very unceremoniously gored by a boar.
Not
that he almost killed it with his bare hands, like is what he implied to the son.
Okay, then can we agree on the second one, that Richter and Sylvanas' foolishness was not the cause, which is a lie? It's all Richter and Sylvanas' fault.
Well, fault is interesting in this case that. Because Richter and Sylvana, as well as Ursula and some of these others, might disagree. Because remember, they talked about how Marla was the one that suggested they sleep under the tree.
It was Ivan.
Not that I agree with blaming Marla. Okay. I think that's silly.
I shot Marla in the face. Sorry.
Oh, no. Sorry. It always goes back
to
Pulp Fiction.
That's a stretch from Pulp Fiction joke. Because Marla in the face. The line from Pulp Fiction is, I shot Marvin in the face.
Right? Shot Marla in the face.
Why'd you shoot Marla in the face?
I didn't mean to do it. He must have hit a bump or something.
Car didn't go over no motherfucking bump.
I apologize for the inconvenience.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you. See, Dan's a good stand-up person because he knows what he did was misbehaving.
He misbehaving.
He was accusing me of being impish earlier.
Impish. I know you accuse yourself of being impish.
Because it's fun to be impish.
I accused you of something much more sinister. Well, I don't remember what it was.
You just said I was recalcitrant.
Demonic.
Yeah, that's what it was. Ivan was the one who said it was Marla's fault. Yeah. But then not far afterwards, Ivan started blaming himself. He's like, I'm growing soft like Richter. It was my fault. I should have. He said
upset that he didn't magically sense the danger.
He said,
I must be growing soft. Careless.
So he simultaneously blames Marla and himself, but he blames Marla.
And bashes
but,
this other guy.
So what he does is he blames Marla to her face, but when Marla's not around, he blames himself. Mm-hmm. So it seems like the reason he's blaming Marla is because of his own insecurity.
Marla is MacGyver.
So I think he does.
MacGyver's.
So
MacGyver's,
I,
MacGyver's.
Oh my God.
Sorry, I would just have to.
No, I know. It's just like, can we settle this in a second? Let me finish what I'm trying to say here.
Yeah, I get it.
It's like there's this like second conversation. This is not the first time that I've complained about this.
No surprise there.
It's kind of like a fun tradition at this.
No, it's not fun. I wouldn't call it a tradition. And the more I complain about it, the more it starts to feel like it's somehow my fault.
No, definitely not. Definitely not your fault.
Okay, so what I'm saying is, he blames Marla to her face, but then when Marla's not around, he's talking to Ursula and he's kind of blaming himself. So what it seems to be is like he's blaming Marla like so intensely because of his insecurity. Yeah. Now, I'm sure he blames her somewhat, but he has a violent reaction to her sarcasm when she's like,
thank you for that truly piercing insight.
And he like fucking grabs her and like threatens her basically, which when I heard that, I was like, oh man, that's not cool. Don't do that shit.
Well, we discussed this last week where we realized they were setting Ivan up.
On SETI.
In episode one, we're introduced to Ivan. We don't learn much about him other than, you know, he's sort of aggro. He's aggressive. Episode
Seems
two,
to be Russian.
Which we discussed last week, it was very clear that they were sort of making him an asshole. They want the audience to be able to have an antagonist here because from a literary perspective, we are going to want to identify with, or if not identify, at least sympathize with Khan. And the trick is that Khan is this, in many ways, terrible person. Mm-hmm. So in order for us to sympathize with him, it's going to be helpful for them to have this heel character, you know, like in wrestling, you got to have the heel. Mm-hmm. And Ivan
is a Russian guy.
Well, it's a little bit on the nose, but Ivan is increasingly the heel. And one way they're making him the heel is by having him be so misogynistic. He's repeatedly misogynistic, even though he seems to respect his own genetically engineered brethren pretty well. They're still coloring him as being misogynistic.
Right. And she expresses concern that, like, if Khan wasn't here, like, he would be in trouble with Ivan. Also, and when he grabs her, she's like, let go of me. He's like, don't tell me what to do. He's like, let go of me or Khan will make you let go of me, which kind of sucks for her because, like, that sort of enforces the idea that if Khan is not around, then she's kind of out of luck on this one. And when and her saying that to Ivan probably frustrates to the point where he's like, okay, well, I'm going to wait till Khan's not around. Right. But like, she didn't have a lot of options.
Exactly.
Right,
that's
then,
that's all she could sort of play at.
It stood out in part because the first two episodes, a lot of time was spent with Marla publicly trying to distance herself from that kept woman situation, right? Like being Khan's woman, although in this case, she has to rely on the Khan's woman stereotype in order to save herself.
And there's another part that was interesting. When Madeau goes up to Marla in her place, she's like asking, she's like talking about, it's like, oh, you got these chimes set up. And then Marla goes, I just tied up a few scraps of metal and hung them over the door. And Madeau says,
No, I was fine for that. You can just keep going.
Chimes. Yes, that's the word I said, Jesse. Why did you say chimes?
The thing is, Dan is like,
like those are obviously chimes. I'm just speaking to the character.
The issue is.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were. I'm sorry. I mistook it because sometimes you just repeat a word I said.
It wasn't about like. Okay.
It's sort of like it's like a hype man thing. And the thing is Dan, what I've noticed while editing the podcast is the tricky bit is you often just don't notice. This was one of those instances where you noticed. However, when you listen back, you'll notice you and I will be talking, and then just occasionally, she'll just chime in. No pun intended. With like a in this case, it was chimes.
Yeah.
So I apologize for that. Totally unintentional. But you know what I'm saying.
Maybe it was.
So anyways, so she goes, I just tied up a few scraps of metal and hung them over the door. And Madeau says, to warn you if anyone approaches, that is wise, at least until Khan returns. Now, before y'all say anything, there are two things that I thought this could mean. One, does this
reference to MacGyver.
One, this is
the TV show MacGyver. I'm sorry. That was a bit of humor.
That was not me.
I know, Jesse. It was Patrick this time.
It was just meant to be a little bit of fun. Okay.
It's MacGyver's.
Two items.
So it could be two things. One, you could say, oh, it's wise to hang up chimes. That way you can hear if there's any like animals coming in or something like that, and you can warn it. But the chimes are at her door. And she specifically says, at least until Khan returns. Now you could say, oh, well, when Khan returns, he'll help protect everyone from the animals or something. I don't know. I think, though, what she meant was, it's wise that you put chimes over your door until Khan returns, because one of these other motherfuckers in the group might try to fuck your shit up. And the way Madeau says it, though, she says
very, very casual.
She says it very, very casually.
She knew all over it.
Like, she doesn't even say it in like some warning. She's just like,
that is wise.
She sounds like, oh yeah, that's a smart thing. Smart thing to do, because someone might try to kill you. She doesn't like she says it, it's a little misleading.
Could have been me.
Her tone makes me think it's not as dire as it is, but when you look at what she's saying, she's basically saying like, everyone wants to fucking kill you. But then and then Marla talks about how Ursula, at some point between when we first hear her talk to Ursula, things seem fine with her and Ursula at first.
Yeah.
But since then, we've at somewhere in between then and now, Ursula has decided that she has no use for Marla. That's what Marla says. Ursula has no use for me.
Or at the moment she doesn't.
Right. And then at the beginning of the same conversation, Madeau's asking if she took scans of this creature that attacked Sylvana and Richter or whatever.
The Seti eel.
Or was it a Seti boar? Or was
Seti eel.
It wasn't a Seti dactyl, though.
It was not a Seti dactyl.
But she goes, Ursula wants this information. Marla's like, why didn't Ursula just ask me herself? Yeah. And she's like, oh, never mind. Silly question. Yeah. Now, if Ursula had, there's a difference between not having a use for someone and thinking someone's fucking dumb and annoying. And so it seems like Ursula doesn't just not have a use for her. It seems like Ursula actively dislikes Marla. And we don't know why specifically.
Well,
unless it's just the whole augments don't like non-augment thing.
I think this is one of the challenges they have in the audio format. I was thinking about that this week, that we're dealing with a large group of people who are genetically enhanced, and that's their whole deal, that they believe themselves to be superior people.
So
because
she just doesn't
want to
waste her time dealing with
superior
point,
people from the 90s.
The point is that that's the baseline, right? That's the baseline that they are. There's already a built-in us or them mentality, a prejudice built in between Marla and these other people. And that we also see that prejudice play up to a certain degree with is it Joachim?
Yeah.
Because he is half augment and half regular old human.
Regular.
So this is something they keep bringing up. However,
too bad Joaquin isn't still alive, because he could sympathize.
The thing about this,
he was married to a,
the thing about this audio format human. That I think they're being largely successful with it, but it is a challenge for them, is having to remind us of the difference between the augments and Marla, for example, because almost everyone we're dealing with is an augment. So we're not seeing that constant difference of ability.
Yeah.
They have to mention it. Like last week we joked about the Benny Hill walking, because they were talking about how augments can walk so much faster than Marla, and Marla was slowing them down. Yeah. And we just thought it was like, but did they just scuttle through the wind? But we don't get to see that, right? We're told it. And here we hear Khan doing some crazy stuff in the woods when he's trying to help Richter out, which presumably took advantage of both his and Richter's advanced abilities, but because they both have advanced abilities, there's no gradation in the characteristics that we hear in the sound effects and stuff. So we have to remind ourselves these people are, their whole deal is that they think they're superior.
When for example, when Richter jumps out of the tree and Khan's like, why'd you do that? Like, at first I was just like, I thought like, Richter was just freaking out really bad. I thought like, Khan told him to get out of the tree and he just freaked out. But it turns out that he was just coming up with, he was inventing commands in his head or something.
Following orders.
It was because of the bug in his ear.
Which, as we know, spoiler alert, we know from Wrath of Khan that a side effect of these bugs is they make you susceptible to just doing whatever somebody tells you.
Right.
Khan is figuring that out in this situation with Richter, and it starts with him saying, get out of the tree.
But it was still, like, when that scene was happening, it was unclear to me exactly what was going on. It wasn't until he said later on, when he says he starts following strange orders, or whatever, like that. When he said that, it clarified that scene for me a little bit. It's like, he was being weird because of the bug. Because at first I wasn't clear that it was the worm causing it was the worm in his
worm. Oh no, the worm!
It was behind his face and in his ear canal.
Oh no.
Not a face worm, a brain worm. It wasn't totally clear to me at first what was going on with that.
Well, that's the tricky bit with the audio format. Sometimes you get a little bit lost in the action.
But
it doesn't happen much so far in the first three episodes.
But yeah, I'm still not clear on Ursula's opinion of Marla, because obviously Ursula it's not that she doesn't have a use for Marla. Something about being around Marla, like, bothers her.
Well,
you think it's just because she's so superior that it's just kind of, like, tedious for her to be around her or something?
I don't know, because
because Madeau seems totally cool with her.
You're right. We're making assumptions. MacGyver's Marla says herself that the young folks seem to be more inclined to at least give her the time of day.
Younglings.
And the younglings were, I presume it's true of all of them, that was the implication, that they were all the clones that were stolen from that Montana lab, right? So they were cooked up.
Montana.
So they have more experience with regular old humans and living in a lab, Stranger Things style. Okay, right? That's my understanding. So the younglings.
Stranger Things, new season premiered Wednesday, which is today for us. Or, I mean, 2 days ago.
Yeah, and younglings is a phrase that's used to great effect in Star Wars prequels.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, where else have I heard younglings other than Star Wars? I don't know.
Wheel of Time.
Is that in there, too?
Is in the books, yes.
I've never read those books.
Well, then you hadn't.
If I had read them, I would have known them.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'm stupid.
Well, I think Jesse got in a stealth anecdote.
Yeah,
by strongly implying that he has indeed read the Wheel of Time books.
Humble brag.
And the way he
that's not a humble brag. That's just a brag.
Suggested that he knew the content very well.
Not a humble.
All right,
brag.
So Dan's got a couple of anecdotes. I don't think I've got any.
What would you have me do?
And Jesse's got at least one. All right, if you're keeping track at home.
Ivan, you need to go back to your tent and lie down before you fall down.
Oh, shit.
Yes. So MacGyver's and
you know what was also
Madeau and Ursula. All I was going to say about Ursula is I don't think we're given enough information or we've missed something. However, we are given enough information that people have different attitudes depending on kind of what their vibe is. And Ursula has been described as somebody who only makes time of day for people who are useful to her. And that includes augments, I get the impression.
She doesn't
seem to want to be bothered by anybody at all.
She doesn't suffer fools.
Yeah. That's one way.
Whatever that's saying.
One way to put it.
Yeah. Yep.
I thought you were getting ready with the
I got all kinds of fools.
All things remain possible in the liminal space between losing and admitting defeat.
I thought that was an interesting line. Yeah. This sort of idea that Khan... He never seems to... Okay, so I was trying to figure out whether I should talk about this now or...
I think you should talk about this now.
Or if I should go... We should go through the different parts or if we should jump around.
Let's jump. Jump. Jump around.
Jump around.
Everyone at home can do fill in the, you know, the background. Mm-hmm. Jump. Jump. Jump around.
Seriously?
Yeah, seriously. We can afford the... That music in particular. Are you going to reference the fact that Ursula has Khan pegged about him moving the goalposts all the time? Him doing the classic egomaniacal, he changes reality to whatever. So, whenever reality conflicts with his plans, he just changes his plans retroactively.
Yeah, so Madofer says he never seems to know when he's lost. And then that's when Ursula says, if things don't go his way, he just changes the plans. Mm-hmm. So when Madeau says he never seems to know when he's lost, Khan is confident to the point of arrogance, and he doesn't admit defeat, which is good on the one hand, but not good when admitting defeat could save lives. Yeah. And that's a problem, is because he's not willing to bend on this, and that can cause more problems in the end.
And did either of you guys catch what they're doing here from a sneaky, 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 sneaky literary sense?
I mean, maybe, but like I don't know what you're talking about.
They're supposed to be all advanced, but like they're in this crazy ecosystem they didn't bargain for.
Well, there's a little bit of that. I was making the point, to Dan's point specifically, about Ursula talking about Khan. They're setting Khan up as the mirror to Kirk, because in Star Trek II, it's all about Kirk never facing a no-win situation. Because he cheats at the Kobayashi Maru. So the whole thing is, his son talks to him about it, about how Kirk dealing with what happens to Spock in Star Trek II is his first sort of no-win scenario. And because Kirk does not know when he's lost, right? That's what they're sneaking into your brain this way. Very impressive.
My head. Yeah, it hurts so much.
Jesus Christ, that was so intense. Yeah, that we can talk about when we get back. But what were you going to mention then, Dan? Because I thought that might have been... You're right.
That's a good point. I was right.
And I was right that what you were talking about moving the goalpost.
When you said, Dan, you're right, you were actually saying, Patrick, I'm right.
Yeah, everybody's right.
Everyone's right. What? Are we going to break?
We are going to go to break in a second. But did you have like a quickie point? Because I want to get to your list of things. There's all that Richter screaming and being sad.
So when Ursula said if things don't go his way, he just changes the plan. And so while it's good to be adaptable, changing the plans, you got to be able to stick to plans too, because things aren't going to go your way sometimes. And that's why you have plans, right? You have plans and you need to sort of think about like, okay, we're going to stick to this plan. If things don't go our way, we have this backup plan, but it seems like Khan doesn't really have backup plans. He just switches the plan on the fly, which is, like I said, it's good to be adaptable, but you want to know when to,
hold them.
When
to fold them.
It's like
when to walk away.
It's like when you want to short your stock or whatever. It's like when you decide when your stock hits a certain low price, you sell or whatever. Agreed. People do that that shit. But it's the point is that capitalism. if you invest in something and you're getting money, things are great. But if you're losing money, do you like try to just keep at it to win your money back? Or same with like poker, know when to hold them, know when to fold them. Exactly. Yeah. Do you go on tilt? That where it's like you're losing, so you make bigger bets to try to make up for your loss? Or do you fold, accept the loss, and accept that I am accepting loss, but the loss is not as bad as it would be if I jumped all in. And that's hard to do that because it's tempting to go all in because there is that chance you could still win.
But you have to play the odds. I agree, but I think it's even a little beyond that. I took her implication to even say that he's literally just changing his plans retroactively in the sense that their whole plan was to escape and become like an empire, and then they got stranded on this planet by Captain Kirk, and now Khan is walking around saying like, this is great, I'm totally into this, this is totally cool, and people are like, Hugo was like, what the fuck are you talking about, man, this fucking sucks. We're super geniuses, we don't have to actually invent shit, we want to like rule over people.
Well that's kind of like if you're like strutting down the street and you trip over something, you're like, I meant to do that. That's kind of like that.
It's attitude. Exactly like that.
Yeah, it's just like that. Because they're just like, yeah, that's
I've got all these rooms in my house.
I'm glad I scratched my arm up because I thought it looked cool. So that's what YouTube, I meant to.
We got to take a break, but when we get back, Dan will have a lot more analogies like that along those lines.
Patrick is the one who said know when to hold them, know when to fold them. So you started it.
We will be right back.
Stop it, all of you.
Boop boop. And we're back.
Go.
Oh.
One foot in front of the other, my boy.
I thought you were telling me to go away.
Oh, go. Get out of here.
My jeepers, Daddy. I don't want to go away.
You know.
What do I know?
Movies where the pet dies are terrible. But you know what's also terrible?
Wait. Hot take.
But what's also terrible is when the kid befriends the animal. And then for whatever reason, in order to save the animal's life...
The kid's got
to
shoot him in the back of the head.
No, the kid has to like... That doesn't make sense. The kid has to make the animal think he hates him.
Oh, yeah, I don't
He's
like
that. He's like, go! Get out of here! I don't want to see you again! You're stupid! Go! And then the animal's like, huh? And he runs away, and the kid's doing it because he knows if the animal stays, the animals get fucked up. But then
Same thing happened in Harry and the Hendersons.
But then the animal's like, oh, man. And the kid's like, no, I love him. And it's really sad.
Yeah, I get what they're trying to do with that.
Well, of course. But it's not hard to get.
Yeah, no. Look.
No.
I know it's not hard.
No.
I'm just saying. I put my marker down on the side that says the lesson they are teaching is not a good lesson. Right? So there are all these old media lessons that we are taught that are sort of standard archetypal lessons. That one falls into growing up, like part of growing up is that you have to like kick a dog in the head or some shit.
Yeah.
And by the way, often more on the male side, usually it's a male coming of age. By the way, to be an adult male, you have to be able to do terrible things.
Right.
And I get the overall point. I don't even necessarily disagree with it, but I don't think you gotta like yell at the dog.
No.
Right. I think like Captain Kirk, forgive me, perhaps I'm naive. But like Captain Kirk, I don't believe in a no-win scenario when it comes to, you know, you can be nice to the dog.
I forgive you, Khan.
All right. So what was it? There was a list of
things.
Oh, it's
just the different parts.
Different parts. Another list of different parts.
Yes. We don't have to do it.
No. I'm into the list of different parts because it'll help us organize this last little chunk of the show because we still got to talk about Freaky Deaky Richter business, Sylvana business.
Okay.
Seti Eel business.
Okay. So number one was Lear was listening. Dr. Lear was listening. Uh-huh. That was the whole part. This is day 6,000 to 6,500 cross-reference from 30 to 35. Meteorites. Conversation with Tuvok. Been 15 years since anything resembling. Okay, blah blah blah.
This is great podcasting.
Yeah, that's great. Blah blah blah. Zippity zap. Zoobity zoop doop.
Monotone. Talking about shit we already talked about.
Yeah, everyone. So when Khan's talking about how like everyone's dead or something. I don't know. He's like everyone's dead or something like that. You know. And he says my darling, implying that he still loves Marla. I'm guessing my darling means it's Marla and that she's dead or something.
I believe so.
Yeah. So number two, part two, is when it fades into him talking about Rain and younglings. But that fade was still into the future, Con, which we discussed. Okay. Number three, looking for Richter. This is when the episode really starts.
Which is where we left Con at the end.
Yes.
Last week, he told the rest of the hunting party to go on ahead
back to
the main village.
Yeah.
And he would find Richter.
Right. Which was a silly move on his part because... because he could have used Ivan's help, but he was like, no, save this body for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't know. So...
Body.
And Khan is like cursing the planet. He's always all talking to the planet and the flora and the fauna as if they're people.
Yeah, I have in my notes
as if they're enemies. They're his foe.
Yeah, in my notes, I have when you start personifying the planet.
Yeah, right.
You might be in some trouble.
Yeah,
you might just from a strategic standpoint.
You might have lost perspective.
Like if you think you're superior. Right,
because
you might need to think more about logistics and less about I'm going to cleanse this world of all the monsters.
I know when you stop thinking about the planet as a place of nourishment and the place that you're going to live and coexist in and live in harmony and grow a society. When you start to think of it as an enemy you need to defeat, I think you've sort of like lost perspective and scope.
And you might have lost the whole war.
Yeah,
right there.
And it shouldn't have been a war, but you made it one. Therefore, you just lost it. So they find Richter. Richter's fucked up and he's freaking out and something's in his head. We don't know what, but we really do. It's a worm. He's comforting Richter. Okay, that's the end of that part.
Yeah.
Anything to say? No. 4. Ursula and Mado are making augment babies and they appear to be succeeding.
So far.
So far, so good. Right?
Using the technology they were able to get from Marla.
Marla MacGyvers. Yeah. Who Ursula has no use for, apparently.
Not anymore, now that Marla gave her the doodads.
Yeah, so Ursula is...
the information.
Ursula, that's kind of a jerk move on her part.
It is a jerk move.
I need you until I don't, and then you can fuck off, is basically what Ursula says.
Perhaps...
Nobody likes her.
Perhaps this attitude will come back to bite her in the butt.
Paolo... Mm-hmm. He's talking about some kind of...
I'm trying to expand the range of this dino scanner.
I kept thinking it was like a dinosaur scanner.
I got that in my notes, too. We know it's not. Yeah. You know, like a dynamometer. Like there's, we understand it's like D-Y-N, right? But obviously, as Dan says...
Yeah.
Because this old... It was like a dino scanner.
I got my dino scanner. Roar. Tyrann Thorth Rex.
There is more... The T-Rex is closer to humanity than it is to the stegosaurus.
I found a Diplodocus.
Why do they call it Jurassic Park when most of the dinosaurs are not from... They're from the Triassic.
The Brontosaurus is made up.
Patasaurus.
Ankylosaur.
We're just going to start listing sources.
Sources. Cetidactyls.
Cetidactyls, indeed.
Yeah. Paolo was able to do this.
The little coil he found, which was presumably from when Khan smashed up her communicator in her quarters, because he said he just found it on the ground, right?
Right. Yeah. So
why was he in her quarters?
So he wants the superconductive solder for his dino scanner, and he already boosted this dino scanner's ability. Kind of like he boosted the coil from Marla's thing.
So audience, we have a large international audience. Yeah. Even though most of you are in the Anglophone countries, not all of you, but many of you are in Anglophone countries. Dan here is using the term boosted. It's a colloquial term in some localities, which is a synonym for stealing, to steal. To boost is to steal.
Ripped off. Rolled.
Ripped off would be to cheat somebody. Wouldn't that be more to cheat somebody?
Yeah.
Whereas to boost, you might boost a car. You know? You might boost a bike.
Totally boost a car.
Thank you for that truly
boost
piercing insight.
Boost a couple of bikes.
You probably wouldn't boost a pile of cash. You'd probably just say, you stole it. You stole it. Absconded with. Anyway.
I thought it was the other way around.
So he got this thing from her cargo pod. How invasive was
boost
that?
Boost a pod.
Ursula, who doesn't even like Marla, is even like you thief, you know? Yeah. They notice the hunting party comes back. Joachim is sad. Because his dad died. At first, Ursula is like, I hear a lot of noise. It must be good news.
Yeah, I know. She was all like laconically. She's like, oh, that must be.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of yelling.
Yeah, right. I'm just fucking Ursula.
Homie.
I'm sorry.
Is that a Bart Simpson?
It drifted in that direction. It drifted that way. Yeah. Things drift towards Marge Simpson in one direction and the other direction.
But if you notice, Mado is like all worried, but she only seems to be worried about Khan. Like, I forget the line exactly, but she says something like, I hope Khan is okay or something like that.
Well, and Marla is worried as well, although it can be difficult to disaggregate Marla's worry about Khan worrying about him specifically, as well as worrying about her position and future safety, because right. he is protecting her. So it's a nice little tightrope they have her walking emotionally, and in terms of the motivations they provide her, sort of multifold and complicated. She's not some goofy con groupie, right? Okay, I thought that eloquent point that I had just made extemporaneously off the top of my head, I know that's redundant, I thought that would have been enough time for Dan to have figured out what point he's trying to make. He seems to have frozen in place. He's staring at his laptop. He's looking at his notes. I had presumed he was looking up some sort of a line of dialogue or something, he's just frozen. Oh my God, he's finally come awake, folks. He was, no joke, this man was catatonic for however long I was just jabbering on about this, that, and the other thing.
Danatonic.
Yeah. All right. So what do you have for us, Dan? I have no idea where this started, because I just started talking. I used all my skills. I gathered up all my mental strength just to keep jabbering on.
Okay.
Fill the dead air.
Hey, okay, here it is.
This better be good.
The problem is I had to get a transcript from YouTube, and it was auto-generated, so it's not all the words are spelled correctly. It was a little harder to search. All Mado says is, where they come back, and Mado says, where is Khan? Basically, where is Khan? Like, she's only worried about Khan. She's not worried about Richter. Nobody seems to give a shit about Richter.
It does stick out that Khan isn't.
Khan is not there. And I'm assuming most people probably feel that way. It's like they care about Khan. And it's true, because, yeah, like, Khan is the leader of their group. Mm. It's funny, because that's why they get so irritated. They all get so irritated with Khan, because, like, it's funny that you can respect somebody and think somebody's a great leader, and because you respect them and because they're a great leader, it pisses you off when they do stupid shit like this.
And aggravates them.
It's aggravating, right? Because it's like, look, man, you're great. You're awesome at this leader stuff. You're great. You're gonna lead us to a wonderful world. Yeah. Stop being a dick about it. Like, it's almost like he's a child in a way, and like, he's this great, wonderful, spiritual, and practical leader. But they still look at him as like this child that they have to be exasperated by, because he does all these shenanigans.
I think it's
like a weird dissonance.
It's an example. I presume it's done on purpose by the writers, Kirsten Beyer and David Mack. It's an example, I think, of how any sort of structure, any community structure that is reliant on a single charismatic person has the structural flaw of that single charismatic person never being able to accommodate the public image that each individual person in the community has of that person, right? And so we see that from all these perspectives. Dan, you explained it very well, these exasperations, but they're all different, right? Mm-hmm. Ivan is exasperated with Khan because he's a little too, like, Ivan buys into the racial superiority thing, the genetic superiority thing, more than Khan, because Khan's like hanging out with Marlon and is totally cool with Joachim.
Joachim.
So that annoys Ivan. You know, Ursula thinks that Khan does some like strategically silly stuff from time to time. You know, like, there's a lot of disagreements with Khan. So a charismatic person gets people because they're like, this guy's amazing. Mm-hmm. But then he can't be amazing for everybody forever, for over the long term. And I think that's what we see, is that everyone's got this vision of him, especially the young people, because Joachim, there's that conversation with him and Marla where she's all like, do you believe in a god or gods? And they're like, we believe in fucking Khan.
It's kind of like when Tom Brady was telling Jaden Daniels that the most important thing for him to do as a quarterback is to stay healthy so he can be there to lead his team and not try to run the ball so much, because if a quarterback tries to run the ball too much, they're bound to get injured and then they can't lead their team. It's kind of like that.
Yeah, he just was scared to run.
Who, Tom Brady?
Yeah, he was scared to run.
He was probably trying to compensate for that.
Honestly, you should be. It's scary to run in the NFL.
Well, those, you wear less big people. And you wear less fewer pads when you're a quarterback, so you're more likely to get injured. Oh. So I just came up with that off the cuff, by the way. That wasn't prepared.
Football.
Yeah. You probably thought I wrote that down.
No, I don't.
You were like, if you did, it would have been much more eloquent.
Oh, by the way, just to folks, the audience at home knows, I've been clocking the fact that Jesse's been saying a bunch of these things and Dan hasn't noticed. So they've not been aggravating.
No,
Dan.
I just...
Then Jesse was just like,
keep saying stuff, John.
No, I'm trying to tune it out. Right. I'm not trying to tune you out, Jesse. I'm just trying to tune out extraneous noises that happen when I'm saying something.
Sort of like how Jordy got used to seeing the world through his visor, because it's very complicated information coming in.
Right.
Yeah. It's kind of like that.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. Okay. Continue the chunks. What
but no,
chunk
for the record, I'm happy to hear Jesse talk. It's just when it's just that
we're gonna slice that out.
It's
for the record, he's allowed to say stuff.
No, no, I'm happy to hear you speak, and I'm glad when you do. It's just like when random words fly through by my ears when I'm talking.
Sometimes it's just
I tend to kind of tune them out. It's like it's just
it's all
these sort of like
I'm an intense fellow sometimes.
It's
true.
Yeah. What's it called? When you sort of
what are you talking about?
When you punctuate
impulsive thoughts.
When you punctuate words like that, you just punctuated the word punctuate.
Ah.
When I said punctuate, he went punctuate.
Penetrate.
Yeah. It's like I said it.
Intrusive thoughts.
I'm not having intrusive thoughts. This has nothing to do with intrusive thoughts.
I do constantly.
But this has nothing to do with it. Constantly. This has nothing to do with intrusive thoughts. Okay. So that was that. So they came. So they came back with and they're like, "Where's Khan?" Number five, we go back to Khan and Richter. Richter has a fever. He's freaking out about the thing in his head. He refers to it as they, and he describes their actions as screaming at him in his head.
It's horrifying.
It's fucking terrible.
All of this is so well acted, and the sound design is really upsetting, and especially because Naveen Andrews as Khan has confusion and fear in his in his voice, and you see this a couple times in Space Seed and in Wrath of Khan, and it's so important to the character of Khan because it does humanize him a bit. Those flashes where he's like, "Oh shit, I'm scared." Like in Wrath of Khan, when the shields start going down because of the whole business, you got to watch the movie to check it out. Khan looks actually scared for a moment, just for a moment, right? And that's happening here in the audio format, which is brilliant. Mm-hmm. I really thought they did a great job with all this Richter Khan being freaking out at multiple occasions, dealing with something he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know how to help this dude.
I can't get it out. No, please. I don't know. Why won't they stop screaming at me in my head? It hurts so much.
Yeah.
It's upsetting.
Yeah.
I am Khan. You are Richter. I am Khan. You are Richter. I am Khan. You are Richter.
Khan manages to calm him down with those breathing exercises I alluded to earlier in the podcast with mind focusing drills. No, so Richter calms. Number six, back at the ranch, Ursula is checking out the wounds of Richter, and they're fucked up. Ursula's like, "This shit looks like an elephant, not a boar." Yeah. Just to let us know how big this thing was. It was big boar. I really want to see that boar actualized.
Yeah, because it's not a boar, right? It's some sort of space boar.
It's a space city boar.
If it was TOS Star Trek style, which this is close to that time period, then this would have been like dyed pink with little horns glued to its head.
Yeah, right.
Except the rest of it is just a boar.
It's just such a bore. So Ursula is basically like, "Ivan, why'd you let Khan go by himself to get Richter?" And then Ivan's like, "I didn't want to, but he told me."
Yeah.
And then Ursula, Ivan, and Mado talk about how Khan does this shit from time to time, where it's like, I went over that earlier, where we're saying like, when Mado said he never seems to know when he's lost, and Ursula's like, "If things don't go away, he just changes." We talked about that already, about that whole situation.
We did.
So now they're all bummed about having to bury people, and then Ivan complains that Hugo got to be buried. This event with the boar is when Ivan is starting to lose faith in Khan, it seems like. Because the thing with Hugo, he hadn't lost faith with Khan, but he just took matters into his own hands. But this whole situation with the boar, Ivan's starting to get pissed about this whole situation.
Curious to see which direction they go with this Ivan business.
Right, because on the one hand, Ivan is like dedicated and committed to Khan, but at the other time, and the other way, he's like pissed off because he feels like Khan has put him in this position where he feels like he has to like follow Khan, but he's doing all the shit that pisses him off. But he still feels like he needs to follow him. He still feels like he needs to call him like my lord and shit. So it's like he's got his it's just this conflict in his brain of he feels like two different ways at the same time.
And he'll probably, if I had to guess, use the excuse that Khan is a great man, but was poisoned by an infatuation with a regular old human history lady.
Right.
From
yeah.
the future.
And so it's
she got fancy technologies.
Technologies. And yeah, and
nice paintings. She and can so, do good paintings.
So it's easy for him to get pissed at Marla because it allows him to sort of reconcile these feelings he's having towards Khan's. Because like you said, he can blame him. And when Marla says, this is later, but when Marla says to Joachim, talking about his how he's pissed and stuff, and she goes,
and yet the anger you feel right now needs somewhere to go, doesn't it?
And she's saying that to Joachim, but this is kind of like what Ivan's doing too, right? He's directing his anger at Khan towards Marla, it seems like. Now, Khan earlier was saying, at the very beginning, he was saying that he was basically implying that it was Richter and Sylvanas' fault for getting them into this mess, or not, maybe not all their fault, but they definitely... He was saying I would be lying if I said it wasn't their fault, basically. But Ivan, this is where Ivan thinks it's Marla's fault for telling Richter and Sylvana to sleep under the trees instead of around the fire, like Ivan said they were supposed to.
And I'm guessing, I think it's a pretty good guess to say, we don't know exactly, we don't have enough information yet, because we haven't seen the full fallout of this event. Mm-hmm. We're getting hints that something went wrong here. Khan, in future Khan, not dead Khan, before being dead Khan, is saying, this is where everything went wrong, mm-hmm. right? If this was one of those wacky movies, it would have been like, I bet you're wondering why, blah, blah, blah. And then it would rewind to like this point where some decision he makes here is where things go bad. And I guess we're going to hear about that real soon, probably in next week's episode. But that's the impression I get, is that's what they're trying to imply to us. But we don't know yet. We can't form an opinion yet because on who's really to blame, because we don't know exactly what's going to follow here other than the hints that things are going to start going bad.
I mean, you got to have an opinion.
You do need to have an opinion. That is, again, a reference to the 1994 film Pulp Fiction.
So Khan is mad at her. But part of why Ivan is mad at Marla is because he kind of blames himself. In his line, Ivan says, it was not Khan's fault. It was mine. I heard the watch. I must be growing soft, careless like Richter.
He had the watch. Are you going to do a Pulp Fiction, give me the watch joke?
Give me the watch. Give me the watch. I had the watch.
The watch on the butt.
I had
the scene in Pulp Fiction.
Yep. I had the watch. I must be growing soft, careless like Richter. How did I not see or sense the danger? I think that's when Mado says something like, you're an augment.
Yeah. I have it here because it's a wonderful line. She says, better does not mean perfect.
Yeah.
Great line from a genetically engineered super human.
Yeah.
Right?
Super herpes.
Super herpetologist. Because they did have this whole scary serpent incident.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were all like, oh, my God, serpent. That's a crazy snake. Yeah, and then it's all like,
yeah, I know.
Like I killed it.
Oh, no. This snake is so big. It was great.
Better does not mean perfect.
And this idea is actually probably one of the downfalls of the augments, is this sort of idea that like they expect perfection from themselves, and when they're not, they're extra hard on themselves as a result. Notice that Marla seems to be taking this whole situation better than anybody, because she's accepted that she is like not perfect, you know. She's surrounded by all these quote unquote superior people, but she's a little bit more down to earth about the whole thing. She's able to handle like these kind of hits because, like, you know, when you expect the world of yourself and you don't meet that expectation, which is an impossible expectation to have of yourself, it's easy to fall apart. It's like you don't bend. You're too rigid. And it's
like them piano kids. They play too much piano.
I think these people expected that they could just like conquer the universe.
Yeah,
conquer the wilderness.
Yeah,
like we're superior people and we're just going to go here and make an empire on this planet. And they're finding that it's not quite so
right.
So simple.
So right. And so not only they thought it was too easy, it's not only was it more difficult than they thought, but the fact that they're not able to do it as easily as they thought doubly makes it worse, because it kind of makes them lose even more confidence in yourself. I don't know. It's like if you eat like super duper healthy all the time and then you eat a fucking McDonald's hamburger, it feels a lot shittier than if you live on McDonald's hamburgers. Now, granted, if you live on McDonald's hamburgers, you'll have a low throbbing feeling of shittiness throughout your whole life. But if you're super healthy,
but if you get used to it, you don't notice it so much.
You don't notice. But like I said, you generally feel shitty, but it's not as sharp and piercing as if you're super healthy and then that one day you eat a terrible for you burger. You see what I'm saying? Like,
do you remember that time you
It's kind of like Bobby. Remember that episode of King of the Hill where Bobby got locked up in the, where Cotton Hill locked him up in that
Military academy,
that military sweat cage or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like Bobby was just like they put Hank was all worried because he thought Bobby would be all fucked up from being there in a day, and Bobby just like rolled over. He was sleeping. He was just like on. He's like, hey Dad,
okay.
And then like
Bobby, you can get out. Okay.
And then Hank said something like, see, Bobby's like a I can't
pile
remember.
Of mashed potatoes.
Yeah, right. It's like
something like that.
Yeah, it's like he doesn't really form into anything, but you can't really break them, you know. So it's kind of like that.
Hey Dad
Hey Dad. But this is Ursula's pissed because Khan was careless. Like I was saying, it's funny, she thinks he's a great leader, which makes her more pissed when he does shit she doesn't want him to do. It's like the more respect she has for his leader, the less respect she has for his impulsive behavior. And just because she thinks he's a great leader doesn't mean she trusts his judgment.
And there's another layer here that I don't know if it's overt from the writers or if it's just sort of an implicit thing from the culture that you get hints of in the storyline. And this is a common storyline because it happened sort of in history, history and contemporary times, the whole concept that's common with,
sorry, this is going to get old.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was good. Cause earlier you said something about like context or conflict and I didn't do the joke, but it's okay.
Good for you.
It's okay. Good for you. No, but it's that idea that you have with a lot of ideologue leaders, you know, fascism, whatever you want to call it. There's a number of cases where the followers have to simultaneously buy into two conceits.
Yeah.
One conceit is that they are the superior tribe, mm-hmm. and the second conceit, you know, that they're stronger, better, smarter than the other tribe. And the second conceit is that one of those dirty, sneaky tribes is ruling the whole fucking world. And those are incompatible beliefs. Mm-hmm. But if you can have people hold those incompatible beliefs, it means that you can kind of do what you want with those people. You can control them because they're willingly able to hold the ideas like we're both the super genius people and we're being totally undermined by these people who are not super geniuses and are weak and sneaky and conniving. You see a little of that here where their arrogance, like Khan's arrogance, that's partly going to be their undoing. But it's not just because they think they're smart. It's also the insecurities that come with it.
So number eight, so it goes back to Khan and Richter. They're getting a drink. They see a big snake. Khan gets it. He gets the snake, but Richter loses his shit, runs up a tree. And that's when Khan's getting exasperated with Richter and yells at him to get down. And then instead of getting down, Richter just kind of like jumps down or something because he breaks his ankle somehow.
Khan just wanted him to, you know, kind of groove a little, kind of dance, kind of just get down.
Yeah.
Just sort of dance
down. Let's get down, man.
Get down with it.
And Khan's like, why'd you do that? He's like, because you told me to.
He likes
drill,
to move
sergeant.
It, move it.
Yeah.
Move it. I was thinking about that because this line, that Move It song, this line.
It is your mind and your body.
Because one part of that song is like, and when they move their body, they move it nice and sweet and sexy. I actually meant to grab that clip, but I forgot. Maybe next week.
Not too bad. That was a good song.
Yeah, maybe next week.
Yeah.
Khan's like, why'd you do that? And Richter's like, because you told me to. So Richter can't keep his shit together. But Khan wasn't exactly handling it well either. Yeah. He was doing well at first. But this is an example of where Khan could have used Ivan in this situation.
Khan's not that great at a lot of things.
Yeah, but Khan wants to handle everything himself. Yeah. That's the thing. And
he's a micromanager.
And which is bad because
bad management.
Yeah, because you have people work for you because they're better at specific things than you are. Yeah. And so that's why you get them to do it. And if you try to do everything yourself, you're trying to be a master of everything, which is you can't expect anyone to do. And also which happens in this episode is he's becoming exhausted. And when you become exhausted, you become less effective on top of like the fact that you're not a specialist in everything.
It's like
when
somebody who has like a geology PhD starts like talking about space aliens or something.
Yeah.
It's like that has nothing to do with your area of expertise.
Yeah, you're talking about all you learn about is like Earth angels and shit, but
Earth
you're talking about space angels.
Earth angel, will you be mine?
So when,
my darling dear,
so
with me for all time.
Okay,
I'm sorry, that's enough. I don't
think it takes a very long time.
I don't think we can legally do any more than that.
So Khan carries Richter back, and Khan is again cursing the planet. He does a lot of cursing of the planet in this episode.
You can imagine, we're only hearing bits and pieces. That walk back took a while. You can imagine him just muttering the whole time. Like, this goddamn, goddamn fucking rock. Fuck that moss over there.
The whole time he's going, Seti Alpha 5, if you try to cross me once again. He does that for like 3 hours.
He's like, that Seti moss, that Seti tree, that Seti magnolia,
but it was like
that Seti serpent.
But it was like I said, Khan's supposed to be working with the planet to protect and nurture his people, but he's quickly treating the planet as his enemy, and he's like leading them into battle to the deaths just so he doesn't lose to the planet. It's not about nurturing his people. It's all about him not losing at this point. He's got it all backwards.
Yeah, totally backwards.
And Nine, Ursula and Paolo.
He's from the 90s.
Yeah, the 90s. That explains it. Yeah.
Tony Blair.
Ursula and Paolo.
Bill Clinton.
Ursula and Paolo. Talking, Paolo. This is when Paolo tests the scanner and he finds out about this magnetic field about Seti Alpha 6. Yeah. And then Ursula.
That is Seti Alpha 6!
Yeah. And that's sorry. And that's when Ursula says, there's nothing to worry about. Millions of years.
Was that Ursula or Marla? I can't remember. I thought it was Ursula. Well, whatever. Whichever. Yeah.
No, it's got to be Ursula because Paolo stole the shit from Marla and introduced it to Ursula early in the episode. So this part was just to sort of let it be like, there's some shit going down with this planet. It's not going to happen in a million years. It's going to happen soon. How has it happened so soon? I guess we'll find out. Okay, and then we skip. Number 10 is Marla leaves the log. It's been 2 days since she's seen Khan and Richter. And that's when she talks about how the kids like her all right, but Ursula doesn't like her. And then she's like, Ivan will fuck me up if Khan wasn't here. Mm. And she's like, Ivan. And so Ivan's going to be a problem. It seems pretty apparent. But that's when Meadows shows up and asks her about the scanning the shit. And Ursula's like, why didn't, or Marla's like, why didn't Ursula talk to me and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And silly question. Silly. And yeah, blah, blah, blah. We talked about that. But chimes.
What are we not talking about?
Expressive comment. Mado expresses confidence in Khan's. Mado's basically like Khan strong. Yeah. She expresses confidence in his constitution. Yeah. We already talked about that. Number 11, Erica finds Sylvana. She tries to keep her spirits up by keeping her mind busy with chores, it seems like. And Sylvana's bumming about Richter. And then Khan and Richter show up. Okay, that's part 11. Part 12, we're nearing the end here. Richter gets taken to the med bay. And Ursula gives Richter 10 cc's of coranolin or something. Yeah. Coranolin.
Sure,
why not? Khan and Khan's basically like, he's here shit. He's following orders weird. He doesn't think right.
Like, this guy's kirking out.
He's got an infection. He's kirking out. And then Ursula suggests it's a fever, and he's like, no, it's more than a fever. It's an infection. I don't know why infection is worse than a fever, but I guess it is. Then Sylvana shows up, and she's freaking out, and Ursula and Meadow are like, get the fuck out so we can help him. And then they discover the dried blood in his left ear canal. And then Khan leaves to wash this accursed world from his body.
Yeah.
Once again, he just can't stop talking about how this world's not going
to
defeat him.
But it does set up the next scene where I think we're meant to understand that this is a nude Khan bathing in a river.
A nude Khan, really?
A nude Khan. He's bathing in the wild. He's not in a bathtub. The tinklies and the tunklies are clearly like some sort of babbling little stream.
Well, before that happens, Ivan tells Marla not to follow Khan. Mm. And he's like, he doesn't need you. And she answers sarcastically and becomes like a super dick. And that's when I was like, oh man, that was messed up. And then she's like, fuck off, or Khan will fuck you off. And and we talked about that's not helping. I mean, she doesn't have a lot of choices, but this is probably pisses Ivan off more. But yes, no. 13, next part, Marla apparently did follow Khan because, yeah, she's there with Khan. Mm. And she asks if she should go.
She doesn't comment on the fact that he's completely nude.
See, I didn't get that, but I'm not saying you're wrong.
Go back and listen to when he's bathing. He's starts underwater because it's all like the underwater sound. And then he like emerges from the water and you hear the water clear from his ear canals.
Wow, you really got a strong image of this.
You get this feeling that he's been refreshed from the cold stream that's been fed by the glaciers. is up in the mountains. And as he emerges, he is just cold and nude and glistening.
Glistening.
You think he's going swimming in his underoos in the stream? No. He needed to wash all the filth from his trip. He had to take off those dirty old underoos, and he's nude. So I think when Marla comes, he's nude or has some sort of mere light covering around his waist.
Okay, sure. I'd like to think that.
Okay.
Anyway, they have a nice chat, and there seems like things are going well with them.
She's like, man, this guy is badass. Like, he's completely fucking naked.
Okay. and really harping on this point.
And his penis has not twitched one bit. It's just chilling there.
Yeah, it's just chilling.
It's all shrinky dinky because it got out of the cold fucking stream.
So Khan says, my life is not my own. It belongs to them. She says, I thought it was the other way around. He says, for a king, perhaps even a sultan, but not for a leader. Now, he might be narcissistic, impulsive, arrogant, and demanding, but you can't say that he's not at least trying to fight the good fight. He's trying. I mean, the road to hell is paved with good intentions or whatever.
And the bad guy always thinks that he's the good guy in the story. True. A good bad guy. A good good bad guy has to think he's doing right.
But anyways, he's getting sleepy. He wants her to stay. And he says he's not trying to be tricky. He's like, I don't mean any ulterior motives. I just want you to be here. And she's referencing the whole using her as a brood mare. Yeah. And then she says, like, well, even if you were trying to be tricky, it's all good. I'd stay anyway. So this is a sign of them coming closer together again. So this is good. This is good for their relationship. Ursula and Richter, she's not happy. She's just like, he's all fucked up. I don't know what to do. And
then Khan is like, well, we got to figure something shit out.
Yeah, Savannah shows up. This time they let her stay. And Savannah's all worried. And then Mado's like, Ursula and I are going to get some food. And then they're like, they detect Savannah wants some time alone. So they're just like, ah, call me if you need anything. They leave Savannah behind. And Savannah talks to his sleepy body. and she
thought so.
And she's talking about how great making out with him was, because she loves making out, remember? She was like saying, like, oh, it was so fun in the forest at the beginning when we were all making out. But then weirdly, she says, right after she talks about making out with him and how great that was, she says this.
There's a lot of good wood here.
She says that right after.
Now, Jesse, hold on, Dan. Jesse, do you think Dan is implying that she's talking about penis, like that wood is referencing penis?
I kind of think that, yeah.
Like, there's a lot of good wood here.
And is she basically threatening him, saying like, there are a lot of other dudes here. Richter, you got to get your shit together. There's a lot of other dudes here.
I'm not going to hang around.
With hard penises.
I just think it's weird she talked about how great making out with him was, and then she immediately, quote, changed the subject by saying,
there's a lot of good wood here.
It just seems like that was planned on her part.
This is a pattern. Last week, Dan was talking about ejaculation or semen or something. I forget.
You were just talking about Khan's naked glistening penis.
Well, that's artistic.
Okay, that's okay. I can get that. Right.
We're way over. So how many more list items left?
Okay, he wakes up, freaks out, and then he kills her.
Yeah. Another fucked up scene, especially the sound.
Oh God, oh God, this is so awful. Okay, a warning to the audience. This is awful. I'm about to play in 3, 2, 1. Ugh.
aided in part by Jesse eating an apple. He's just eating an apple live on the air.
Okay. What I don't understand is this part at the end, though, when Ursula says we got to do an autopsy, and he goes, no, this is not your burden to bear. It's mine.
Yeah.
It sounds noble, but once again, he's being narcissistic and generally unhelpful. He has to be the one to save everyone. He has to do it in the most perfect way possible. But he does end up killing him himself. So are they going to perform this autopsy?
Yes.
But you think they'll say autopsy?
But,
my autopsy.
No pad plus plus. But he said, when she said, we need to perform an autopsy, he said no. So it sounds like he was saying no to the autopsy.
I think.
But it's also.
If that came across that way, clearly he changed his mind. I took it as more no as in, I'm going to be the one.
Because he already had this thing where he felt like he had to save Joaquin's body.
Yes.
So maybe he's like, I was thinking like he's got this sort of spiritual, this obsession with this sort of spirituality and this like everyone calls him my lord and shit like that. Yeah. Like they've obsessed with this like all this ritual and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he feels like he has to implement some sense of spirituality, like preserve this dead body, don't fuck that. It's like he's trying to jump straight into civilization from nothing. Right? And the problem with jumping from nothing to civilization is because you first have to get through the stage where you're where you can survive first. Because it seems like the first stage is, let's figure out how not to die. After we figure out how not to die, then we can start organizing with religion and spirituality and all that shit.
There is.
And it seems like he's trying to jump ahead. He's trying to jump to the end part before getting the not dying part down.
There is a comparison to be made here between what Khan has to do with Richter and a brief arc in the movie Lawrence of Arabia, because in Lawrence of Arabia, there's a whole section where a kid gets lost in one of the traveling nomad tribes. A kid gets lost in the desert and everyone says, don't go back. He's lost. He's dead. That's just the deal. That's how it works in the desert. He got separated. He's dead. And Lawrence, T.E. Lawrence was like, no, he went, found the kid at great danger, brought him back from the desert.
Danger.
It was a big miracle. Everyone was like, oh my God, this is amazing. However, then that kid made some transgression where he caused some problem and the law said he needed to be killed. Mm-hmm. And T.E. Lawrence was like, shit, well, if somebody has to kill him, then I'm going to be the one to kill him.
Nah. I can understand.
And the writers probably did that on purpose to have a little bit of that. I'm the leader. To prove I'm the leader, I have to do the fucked up
thing. And I understand why he killed him, but I also wouldn't be surprised if he didn't perform the autopsy because he would feel that that's desecrating a body, is what I'm saying. And there's some spiritual attachment to
but
that.
I think he killed him for the purpose of performing the autopsy because what she was saying is, I don't know what this is. It could be airborne. It could be something else. We need to figure this out because otherwise we could all be dead.
And I tend to agree with you. It was just confusing to me because when she talked about performing an autopsy, he said no. Yeah. And so I guess he meant no, I'll be the one to kill him. But it sounded like he was saying no to the autopsy. Yeah. If you listen back,
is that the last list item?
The only other thing is that Khan, goes into the room with Richter and he's like, you know, he tells Richter he loves him, and then he like wages war on the planet super style again. And then he's like, he's basically like SETI Alpha 5, this time it's personal, basically. And
very engaging.
He starts taking his place in the food chain personally. That's problematic.
Very engaging story. Some more deaths. It's amazing how much you care about these characters already in just a few episodes. Great job done.
Will he live?
With the writing. And the
voice will he live?
Do you want fish?
Next week.
Fish? Or perhaps some fish? Yeah. Do you want fish? Fish? Or perhaps some fish? Do you want fish? Fish? Or perhaps some fish? Do you want fish? Fish? Or perhaps some fish? Do you want fish? Fish? Or perhaps some fish?
Next week, we will be discussing magical thinking. That's what it's called, magical thinking.
I love the rain.
We're looking forward to that. Facebook, etc. It's got Star Trek. Yeah, YouTube. You know the deal. All right. We'll talk to you. We'll talk to you again next week. Bye bye.
I would prefer you stayed. I do not wish to be alone right now.
Tuvok out.
There's a clear stream a few clicks ahead. We'll refill the canteens. Stop! Don't move. I've never seen a serpent that size.
Say now, what have we here? Oh, it's a man cub. A delicious man cub.
Oh, go away and leave me alone.